Hey guys, what's up? This is Sharon Lee Zapata, hostess of Middle Finger Happiness, Work Hard, Live Well, Don't Fuck With Me podcast. I just want to say thank you for coming into season three with me. I can't believe I'm going into my third year. I started this podcast in 2018, but the crazy story behind it is this started as a tattoo on my arm. Yeah, Middle Finger Happiness. I had a fuck it moment a couple years ago, and I knew I needed to make some changes in my life in order to grow, and then became a hashtag, and then I wrote a book. So it's, you know, it's all these things that got the moving parts to be where I am now with the podcast. I just want to say thank you to all the guests. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for all the downloads. Thank you for the sharing, and thank you for the reviews. This year, oh my goodness, there's, you know what? Every year you get better, right? You get better at stuff. And so hopefully this year, with all the fuck ups and all the organically learning of things, I will be able to bring more value, more things to help you as an individual to feel empowered and to feel inspired, right? We all need that kick in the ass sometimes. And that's what this podcast is all about. So tune in. We're in season three. And for those of you who do listen, you know, I don't edit. It's always raw and uncensored. And if there's a blooper or a fuck up, it's included. Thank you very much. So anyway, have a great year. Cheers to you in 2021. Middle Finger Happiness. Now we're on.
Perfect.
Yay, team.
We did it.
You know, the crazy thing, as we're going through this, I'm reading something that my auntie gave me a long time ago, and it says, you will learn lessons. You are enrolled in a full-time informational school called Life.
I love it.
I was like, yeah.
It's definitely like a pass-fail, depending on the moment.
It was that way. So, hey, happy Monday. Happy New Year.
Yes, happy Monday. Happy New Year to you as well. It's been a rough first few days of 2021. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect a seamless transition, but I definitely didn't expect it to be quite as eventful.
Oh, I know. So let me do the intros, because I love these are very raw and edited. So welcome to my podcast, Middle Finger Happiness.
Thank
Work
you.
Hard, live well, don't fuck with me. I have a fellow podcaster, female podcaster, kick-ass individual who is the host of Who the Fuck podcast. I have none other than Nikki LaCroce. Welcome.
Hi, Sharon. Thank you so much for having me. I think I stepped on your intro a little bit. I apologize. I'm currently quarantining at my friend's mountain house in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania, because I headed back to my native East Coast to see my family and go through some stuff on this side of things. And I'm excited because I get to meet my nephew for the first time in almost a year, because he was born right before the pandemic. So it's exciting times over on this side of the country.
And it's cold over there, girl, because it's cold.
Damn, it's way too fucking cold. I'm not going to lie. Like, I got here and it was like 20 degrees and I was like, I don't miss this at all.
Oh, shit. Well, you know, I'm here in Houston. And so last night it was 32. And I think today the high is 43, which is, you know, it's not in the 20s, but still.
It's cold enough. I mean, that's I can accept that in Seattle, you know, when it drops into the 30s, it's like, oh, God, this again. But growing up in the Northeast, I went to school in Connecticut, too. Like, this is pretty typical. You know what? I phased out of it. I really just, my body was not prepared for it. And I brought our dog Moxie. She's a great traveler, but she is like, I'm not a fan of this. I don't know what's happening here.
It's cold. It's too cold. You know, it's funny. I lived in Washington, D.C. many, many years ago, and for about a year and a half. And I'll never forget. And again, coming from Houston, Texas to D.C., I'll never forget this. The high for the day was 9. And I was waiting. Yeah, 9. And I had to wait for the subway that was outside of my house. And I kid you not, my runny nose, a leaky, runny booger nose, and it froze into a little miniature...
Snot pops.
I've never heard of that.
I just made it up. I don't know if it's a thing.
Hey, snotsicle and situation. Those are our words. So yes, it was a snotsicle. That's so funny.
I have a friend who lives in Minneapolis, and I remember a couple of years ago she posted something about how it was the wind chill felt like minus 50, and I was like, you need to evacuate now. Like, nobody should be living in that.
That's cold.
I definitely feel you.
Well, I really, again, I'm so thankful that you're on my podcast. I know we've become friends virtually, and we've had talks and conversations, and I was on your podcast, and I thank you for that. And here we are in 2021, and you're my first guest for season three.
Thank you. I feel honored.
Yay! I can't believe I'm going into season three. I really
can't. That's crazy. Congratulations.
Thank you. But this podcast is about your podcast, because I want to know all the interesting moving parts that kept you going, you know, how you started, why you started, you know, just sharing the whole reason to become, you know, a podcaster. And then the name. I mean, the name is amazing. So tell us all about who Nikki is and what you do with your podcast.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll start with the name. So it's Who the Fuck, because I actually, you know, as I mentioned, I live in Seattle now, and I moved out there about almost four years ago with my wife. And it was after a period of being unemployed for about 6 months, really starting to question, you know, like, what am I trying to do with my life? What do I care about? Are the things that I care about things that I truly care about, or are they things that I've sort of just had ingrained in my brain to follow through and complete these tasks and check the boxes? And when I had the opportunity to move out to Seattle, you know, it was really impromptu. Holly, thank God, is a super supportive partner and really was just like, if you're going, I'm going. And we got out there, and the first year and a half I was at my new job, I had some really great teammates, but the work I was doing was just, it wasn't fulfilling. I felt really lost. I felt like, you know, I'm in the right place, but I'm not doing the right thing. And I remember I started going to therapy, and at the time it was like, you know, really small, small things, I think, by comparison to what I ended up, you know, dealing with. But it was like, my first feeling was, I don't have a purpose. I don't know what I'm trying to do to feel fulfilled. And so I kept saying, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to be connecting with people. I feel like I'm supposed to be connecting with people. Like, this just innately feels like me. And so when I initially started this, it was actually a blog, and I was writing about myself and my experiences and things that have been really hard for me to expose and say. And then I realized that I really don't like that, you know, kind of one-way conversation that you have as a writer. Like, I can appreciate it in one aspect, because I love the catharsis that comes with writing, and I love the sense that somebody can read something you wrote and feel so connected to it. But for me, if you couldn't tell already, I love to talk, and I really felt like this is something that I need to capitalize on. And jokingly, I said to one of my friends, like, I mean, I do nothing more or better than talking. So, I mean, at the very least, maybe somebody will eventually pay for it. So I feel like there's
But it's good talk. It's not, you know, that's what I think, why you've had this longevity, because it's going on a year or over two
years? Just over a year. This is my second. I'm about halfway through my second season now.
Okay. So people who are listening, that, because I've been told this, maybe you have, oh, you know, Nikki, you know, oh, Sharon, I would love to start a podcast, but I don't know what people are going to think or say. You know, what kind of advice do you have?
I mean, I think it's really like, it comes back to sort of that foundation of who are you and what is the message that you want to send to people? Because I think that there's this novel idea that everybody can do a podcast. And yes, everybody can probably create a podcast, but can everybody create a podcast that's worth listening to? And that's not to say every single word that comes out of my mouth, you know, is gold, because it's certainly not. But I do think that, you know, you have to have a direction. You have to know what your target is, and not in just terms of an audience, because I think that, you know, the goal with my podcast is for there to be a little less restriction around the demographic, but I want people to start seeing themselves more through the conversations that I'm having with other people. And so if we look at how somebody can start a podcast, I mean, obviously the first thing is, like, what subject interests you enough to keep talking about it? For me, that was my own life, and then coupling that with other people's experiences to say, how can I become a better person? And how can I leverage these experiences of other people to use my platform to help expand knowledge about theirs? And so,
and that makes sense, because I think the human landscape to connect is so interesting. And so tell me more about how you keep the ball rolling if you ever come to like a dry spot. Not that we're, girl, we never have dry spots in our conversation, but people who are thinking, again, I really want to help people with creating a podcast. There are only approximately 1 million podcasts worldwide. That's still not saturated, by the way. So yeah. What would you tell somebody who thinks, okay, well, I don't know how to keep the ball rolling, you know, during a conversation? Well,
it's interesting that you say that, because I actually, so I had started reading or listening to this book on Audible by Kristen Meinzer, who, So You Want to Start a Podcast, I think is the name of it. And it's like, okay, here's some of the basic stuff that you should be paying attention to. And I think some of it's pretty straightforward, but there is this statistic that's like most podcasts that don't go anywhere basically top out at 9 episodes. So when I started, mm-hmm. my goal was like at least 10, you know? And once I crossed that line, then like, I don't want it to just be just over the hump. I want to like keep going. And so for me, it's really about consistency, and it can be really hard. Like when I started my podcast, it was actually at like an extremely difficult point in my life where my wife and I had experienced some really deep, extreme trauma that was very new to me and something that I was working to process at the time. And then we were slapped with the pandemic, and all of a sudden, you know, this ability to connect with people in a more organic way wasn't as apparent. So it became also about adapting and saying to myself, okay, well, how frequently can I release this content? How many guests can I get up front to be able to pre-record and make sure that I have sort of like a Rolodex of options, you know, if a week falls short? And so it really became more about strategic planning at one point too. So it's this, I think it's kind of coupling it with like, what's my passion and what do I want to talk about? Who do I want on my show to talk with me? And then also, you know, what's going on in my life that may prohibit me or help amplify my message, and really focusing on how can I move smoothly even through some of those difficult transitions.
Mm-hmm. So an amplified message, I think right now is so important, because there's so much noise. There's so much going on. There's so much social media. There's so many apps. There's, you know, we're now more virtual than ever. And so what's the best way to amplify Who the Fuck podcast message? Because your message, I mean, you have some great guests. I mean, you have such interesting guests. And I like the one that you just did January 1st. Coming out, the freedom of that.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I feel like one of the big things that really, for me, the message is really to show up fully as you are. The tagline to the show is inquisitive, authentic, unapologetic. And it's interesting because that really came to me quickly once I had the name of the show. And I think those three words really describe in a lot of ways who I am to my core. You know, I really genuinely want to know about people. So my innate curiosity is something that I think tends to fill the blanks in conversations. I really genuinely want to understand the person behind the story, not just the story. And so for me to have people on the show who are maybe talking about the same topic, but a very different angle than they speak to more publicly, like that to me is what starts to resonate with people, because we all have talk tracks. We all go on to shows or to events and we say sort of the same thing, just because it's part of the gig, right? Like you have to tell people who you are and what you do. But mm-hmm. when you get into your true story about yourself, like I really want people to construct that narrative and tell their story independently and allow me to sort of invest my time and energy into understanding more, and then leading with that conversation just sort of as it flows from them. And so for me, like with the episode I think you're talking about, was that with the episode with my friend Dustin from last year?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So he's one of my really good friends, and we actually happen to work together during our day jobs now as well, which is pretty fun. But you know, he's somebody who, you know, his story is so interesting. He, you know, was like raised in an evangelical Christian church. He was part of a Christian rock band. He, you know, met his husband at church. And so it was like this very intense storyline. You know, it kind of feels like the movie writes itself. And what was really cool about that conversation is he and I have known each other for years, and I found out more details that I never would have known unless we sat down and had that conversation. And it also grew out of me.
Okay. Out of him because of the core story, because once people find out for Dustin, his core story, you know, who he is, what he's done, what he struggled with, and then how he overcame it, that's like the sticky glue for any person. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that one of the cool things about those conversations too is that a lot of times it's almost like therapy, because you start to think about what other people are saying and how those things apply to your life, and you sort of take a step back and say, hey, wait a second, maybe I've been thinking about this wrong, or there's a different way I can think about it. And for me, the goal of those conversations is to just allow people to continue to expand their thinking and to really ask themselves, you know, what is it that I want to know about myself or about anyone else? And then leveraging that information, as I said, you know, to amplify that further, because sharing, for instance, the conversation with you, you know, your story is incredibly unique and it's really engaging. And it's something that then, you know, pressed me to think more about certain relationships that I have in my life. And I think there's something very symbiotic about it.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, the best thing that I've seen come out of podcasts in general is just the ease of putting I call them the bitch buds, but putting those earbuds. We live in an earbud world. Bitch buds. You know what I'm talking about. The ones that are wireless. You know, I still have the old school with a wire. I like it. But to have the ease and the simplicity of putting these earbuds in your head and listening to something that's going to make you have that aha moment, you know, that aha moment, like, okay, here we are, because we're not alone. And I think you and I had this conversation. We're all going through something. It doesn't matter who you are, you know? So, you know, I wanted this podcast to be about your podcast and maybe to inspire someone who's been thinking about doing one for whatever their background is. And so what are your creative hours on a daily, you know, on your schedule, like somebody who does have their regular day job, but they want to start a podcast. So give us some information on that. Like, how do you do your creativity? What are your creative hours for your podcast?
Oh man. My creative hours are slightly ridiculous. Growing up, I didn't know that I was dealing with ADHD. And so I was like formally diagnosed a couple of years ago, even though my wife, who has all of the credentials to tell me that I should have gotten diagnosed 10 years ago, had been saying that forever. But, you know, so once I finally sort of made peace with that and started to understand it more, I realized that, you know, I can really capitalize on that because I can actually work a lot faster than a lot of people can who don't necessarily have the benefit of that. Whereas like it might take me a while to get started. So I could sit there and ruminate on all this shit that I have to do and try to figure out like, oh my God, I'm so inundated with stuff. Where do I start? Which is sort of what happened initially with it. And it was like slow to start. But then what I did was this second season, I decided that I was going to outsource my editing and say, okay, like that's not value add time for me. Mm-hmm. So instead of spending my late nights doing that work, which would take hours on end for an episode, and it's not even like a lot of finessing, right? It's just, it's making sure it's clean audio and adding a few things here and there, but like transitions here and there, but it's not like going in and reworking a lot of stuff, but it still takes a lot of time because of the precision required. And so I basically was like, you know what, I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to put money towards editing, and I'm going to gain that time back, and I'm going to start scheduling people more. And so because I have flexibility in terms of working from home, it's also given me the opportunity to say like, hey, I'm going to take an interview on my lunch break, or I'm going to do this late at night when it's a weird time for me, but a time that works for somebody in a different time zone. And I think being flexible is how I've been able to capitalize on the opportunity.
Right. Because sometimes we'll miss out by planning too much. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I know for me,
I think that's a good point, because I feel like it's almost harder to connect with people when you do plan things so far in advance because life creeps in, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, do we know that? And I think really what it is just the opportunity to have some good conversations, some good communication. We all learn by stories. I mean, since we were kids, we all heard or most of us heard, I don't know, the fairy tale stories, you know, Little Red Riding Hood or all those old fairy tales. I don't know if you grew up hearing that. I know I did. But
yeah, totally.
Totally. But those are stories. And you know what? You remember that story. Like, you just know that story. And it could have been told to you one time, but at that young age, it made an impact. So with podcasting, I know it makes an impact. I know it does. I've seen it happen. It's happened to me. I've heard podcasts that make you go, oh my gosh, I didn't think about that. So there's also, and maybe you can help me with this one. There's still a lack of female podcasters. We're climbing up there, but there's still a smaller group of us versus male. And I don't understand why still. Although we are growing.
It's interesting. You know, I hadn't looked much into sort of the breakdown of hosts, but I mean, that tracks sort of as with most things, I suppose, that tend to be initially led by a higher volume of males. But I think that if I had to guess, and this is solely an assumption based on my own lived experience, I would say there's probably like an added element of insecurity for women. And I say this because I work in HR technology for my day job. And one of the things that is fascinating is that women will not apply to a job unless they feel they are 100% qualified, generally speaking. Mm. And men will apply like regardless, because they sort of have this idea, right, that this inherent confidence that, hey, I can probably make it work. Whereas women are like, well, unless I'm fully qualified, I don't know if I should be doing it.
And you know what? That starts in childhood. I'm going to tell you, as a mom, I got to interject. Hey, have you ever seen kids on a playground? When you see kids on a playground, because I have boys, I don't have girls, but I remember when they were little, they would be like swinging super high in the swing. Look at me. I'm going to jump. And they would do it and, you know, get cut and bruised or whatever and laugh it off. But girls don't tend to do that. The parents would be like, oh, hey, be careful. Oh, you're going to get hurt. And I'm wondering if that's like in our DNA. So like you just said, you know, men are going to go for it versus they'll figure it out. Whereas women have that, okay, I don't know if I can do it. So do you think it starts from that.
I was going to say, yeah. And I think the other thing, as you were saying that, it really spurred for me this idea, like, we're also, I think, more apt to be criticized in the public eye, right? So mm-hmm. a male voicing his opinion versus a female voicing her opinion, I do think those things are, generally speaking, like, handled differently. Think about the ways that we have to promote ourselves these days, right? Like, social media is a non-negotiable. If I didn't have to have social media, I probably wouldn't. It's not something that I want to invest a lot of like emotional energy in, but I know that it's a good way to connect with people. I love being able to meet people through it, but like all of the, you know, playing to the algorithms and all that shit, it's like, you know, there's a very specific type of person that they're trying to get to play into those expectations. And I think that you have to sort of allow yourself to flounder a little bit at the onset of getting started, because with podcasting, at least this is my experience, I don't know if you feel the same way, but like it's a lot of trial and error, like what's working, what's not working.
Oh gosh, yeah.
So I feel like conveying my message in a way that's meaningful. And then once in a while, like last week, I got this message from a listener who, I mean, it was Wednesday when like everything happened at the Capitol, and this woman had messaged me completely unrelated and just said how much she appreciated, you know, what I was doing, and just to know that it's impacting people whether I see it or not. And it's one of those moments where you're like, holy shit, like it actually matters
to people.
Even if it's, you know, one person. And mm-hmm. I think that if you can change the way somebody thinks about something, so they feel more positive or more secure in themselves or not alone, like you said earlier. And I think that's it, right? Like, as human beings, we have this insatiable need to belong and to have purpose. And if you feel alienated, it is going to be that much harder to put your voice out there. But the more that you hear people telling stories, whether they're the same as yours or, you know, tangential, like these things start to give you more confidence that, hey, maybe my voice matters. Maybe when I say it, somebody will listen. Maybe what this person did for me, I can do for someone else, you know? And I think that that's the most powerful thing you can get out of this. I joke about the pay side of it, which is like, obviously that would be great. But I mean, more than anything, I started it because I wanted to connect with people in a way that I I feel strongly about, and I see that coming back to me, and it's just such an incredible opportunity to see how many different types of people there are in this world, and how, regardless of differences, like, there are just so many things that bring us together.
And then in the beginning, you start thinking about all these things that you have to do. When I just tell people, just start it. You know, you are your brand. You know, Nikki is the brand of Who the Fuck. Who the Fuck is not the brand, it's you. And so when you're at that crossroads where you realize what I'm saying is helping somebody, like you said, you got that message. I've had the same experience, and it's mind blowing because you're thinking, oh my God, I don't have my shit together, but don't listen to me. But you know, I'm just telling you what I've been through. And then you're like, it connects the dots.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of looking at it. It really does. And there are people who have done that for me too, you know. There's a lot lately that I've been really exploring on my own as far as, you know, who are the people that I emulate and really admire and feel like they're doing something that is directionally the same approach that I would want to take. And I don't know if you've ever listened to Mark Groves, but his podcast is calls himself a human connection specialist, I think. And what I love about it is it's real, you know, they're raw stories. They're very open emotional conversations about things that we all think about and we all experience and we all know to some varying degree. And sometimes all you need as a kick in the pants is to just hear it somewhere else and know that it doesn't only exist inside your head.
Right. Because you always think, you don't have my problems or you wouldn't understand. Last year in October, I had a paint and sip, very small private event in my studio, and there was only six women. And halfway through, we went out to the front of the studio and we were looking at other artists' work. And
hello again. I'm so
voila.
Sorry.
Oh, don't even worry about
something
it.
Something popped up on the app, and so then I went to swipe it away, and I guess I closed the whole app.
That's okay. What I do in my settings, and this is, hey, you know what? We're being recorded. This is a learning curve for people. If you're using this, all you got to do is in settings. I just put do not disturb, and then that way I don't get any disturbing. Yeah. But
I actually have do not disturb on. It was like, I don't know. I honestly don't know what happened. It was
that's
something
okay. It's
anyway,
okay.
Technical. This is something that you will experience when podcasting. You will experience technical issues. And I will tell you that, like, sometimes it doesn't matter if you have better equipment, because there's also human mm-hmm. error.
There is. So I'm not sure where we left off about, you know, everybody has problems and our job is to help other people.
I think you're speaking about your sip and paint. I'm not sure how you
So the sip and paint event I had in October was great. It was a private event and I had six women in here. And halfway through, we stepped out in the hallways to go look at the other artists' work. And so we're talking, and one of the young ladies was in there. And again, young, in her early 20s. And she says, you know, being here made me realize I'm not the only one with a fucked up family. And I'm like, no, we all have fuckeries. We all have problems. I'm like, my life looks like the junk drawer in the kitchen. You know, you all have that kitchen drawer. You open it up and you're trying to find the screwdriver and it's behind the gum wrappers or the light bulbs or whatever. But it was at that moment for her that she realized, oh, I'm okay then. I'm like, yeah, we're all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I love that. And it's true, right? And it comes back to really the first question that you asked me, and I think I dilly-dallied around the answer, which was, why is my podcast named what it is? And it really comes down to, like, who the fuck am I? Like, who am I and who do I want to be in this world and how do I want to show up? Mm-hmm. And inviting other people to come to the show and do the same thing and ask that same question of themselves. And when you're listening, imbibe what you're hearing and ask yourself that. How can you reflect something from an episode back to yourself so you can become a better person? And I think that that's something that when you're creating a podcast, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of different kinds, right? Like, people really love true crime podcasts, or there's, you know, how-to podcasts, there's financial podcasts, there's all sorts of things. So it doesn't really matter what your passion is. If you can speak intelligently about something, if you can have opinions that are well formed, and you can have guests who are engaging and can keep the conversation going, you have really all the tools at your disposal, and it's just a matter of putting those pieces together and figuring out, you know, okay, well, where do I want this to go? Do I want it to be a hobby, or do I want it to be a full-time thing? And if I'm going to do this as a full-time thing, then, you know, what's the path to get there? And I think that can be daunting, but it's also really exciting.
It's that, and it is that consistency. It's like how frequently. So I know, for example, the first year I had my podcast, I was doing two a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And in the beginning, it was just me. And then I would get a guest, and then it's me, and then a guest. So it's kind of fluctuates depending on the schedule. But I've learned now, yeah, consistency. And you said something that was very important. The average podcaster makes 9 podcasts. I even thought it was 6, and then they stop.
Yeah. Well, and it's because it's hard to, it's, you're not going to see the fruits of your labor right away. Let's put it that way.
Oh God, no. No. As a matter of fact, I wanted to start a podcast in 2017. And I remember a friend of mine saying, you shouldn't, because you have nothing to sell. I was like, well, fuck you. You don't have anything to sell. And you have a podcast. So anyway, I was like, okay, bitch, I will just go write some books. And so now I have the books and you know, on Amazon, and it started with the tattoo, and it started the name of the book, Middle Finger Happiness. And so that, but now I'm learning there's other ways, you know, you promote other people. It's called social currency. And it takes time to get paid with social currency. It's not overnight.
Right. And I think that that's a really good point too, Sharon, is like, we sort of have this expectation that if you do things all the way that you're supposed to do, you follow these guidelines, right? Like 10 tips to create the best podcast ever, you know, how to monetize this and do that. And it's like, yes, but a lot of those things are things that we already know, and maybe more we need to understand how to execute on them effectively. So it's like, I don't necessarily need somebody to tell me, you know, the 9 different ways I can do X, Y, Z. I need somebody to tell me how to do one of those things very well, so then I can sort of check that off my list and move on to the next thing. And I think that's sort of part of where the growth component is important, is it's consistency coupled with a constant desire to learn and understand where you are on your journey, because you want to know, you know, like, what's the next thing that's coming? Is there a new social platform I need to pay attention to? Is there a new podcast platform where I want my podcast distributed? There's a lot of moving pieces. And I think, you know, this is something that's challenging for me, because inherently I'm like not a very organized person. And so for me, it's like making sure that I brain dump when I'm starting to feel overwhelmed with things. Like, you will always have something else that you need to do for your podcast. Write it down. Whether you tackle that right away or not, like so I'm a product manager for software. So like for me, it's sort of like have a backlog, you know, come back to that, revisit it. If like in a month you still need to do it and you haven't, prioritize it, because what's the reason for not having done it yet? And it is really about holding yourself accountable. And sometimes it helps to have somebody also holding you accountable. Like I have somebody who helps, who manages my social media accounts, and that was another really great decision for me to be able to get time back. Like I still post and add certain things here and there. I contribute to the content itself, but like just knowing that like some of the administrative work and some of the strategic work that is not my forte can also be managed by somebody that I trust, and frankly forces me to create content for it, which I wouldn't do on my own, because I'd be like, oh, whatever, I'm not going to bother with it. And it's like, no, Nikki, I need these posts from you this week. Like, this is where we're at. Get your shit together. And that's what I love about my social manager, Jen, is that she's like, hey, I need this stuff from you. And not in like a pain in the ass type of way, but I'm like, you need to nag me. Like, tell me you need my shit. Like, tell me that I haven't been executing at the pace that you need me to, because it'll force me to wake up and be like, oh my God, I have to get these things done. And the reason I want to do this is to propel this all forward, which is why I started to begin with.
So you're looking at it as on the big, your picture's big. And so for somebody who's listening, who again, is thinking about doing a podcast, there are different moving parts to it. It's not just, you know, some of my podcasts have been just winging it and they've turned out super awesome. And then some that I've actually strategically planned, and you can hear the difference. So I'm going to ask the question that somebody's probably thinking, well, how does Nikki or Sharon, but this is about you. So how does Nikki find her guests?
Well, I'm curious how you do as well. So I'm going to ask that question back to you in a second. But
okay.
Well, I'll be completely candid. A lot of my first season was really people who I already knew, people who I felt had interesting stories, who I knew would want to talk about it. And it wasn't really about, oh, do you have a following, or is there a specific path that I'm going down? And so I think it was a little less niche at the time. And it was more about like, hey, I'm starting a podcast. And it was like when I was in college and I went for film. And so you're like, hey, I have to do this video. Do you want to act in it? You know, and by the end of your college education, people are like, I don't want to act in your stupid student film. So it's sort of like I have one opportunity, one season to capitalize on the friends who will gladly volunteer for this. But that's about it. And so, I'm very lucky in that I have a lot of connections through both my personal and professional endeavors. I've been very lucky to be able to travel throughout different places in the world. So I felt like, you know, it was really great for me to be able to have sort of that level of comfort with my first season where I knew people and it could feel more organic in terms of the conversation. But, you know, coming out of that, I also really recognized that I wanted to focus my energy on, you know, getting out of my comfort zone and approaching people and saying, hey, I really like what you're doing. And I want to know more about it. And I think other people should know more about it too. So like I started paying a lot closer attention to organizations or people who founded organizations or people who are, you know, uniquely talented in some way and really asking, hey, you know, I see something here and I feel like this is a message that that will resonate with people. Are you interested in being a guest? Do you want to talk to me about this? And I basically say, this is my goal is to have as organic as a conversation, essentially, as you and I are having now. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I do at the onset of it is basically say, hey, let's set the direction. Let's talk. Usually I like to talk to people live for a couple minutes if I can before we set up an episode, because I also want to make sure that we all feel good about the direction an episode would head. And that, as I mentioned, like that person should be controlling the narrative. I want to be able to facilitate the conversation, but I want them to share their story. So when it comes to finally, you know, kind of whittling it down and saying, you know, who are my guests going to be? Sometimes it's topical. Sometimes, you know, there's something happening right now and I'm like, I really want to talk to somebody about this. And then there's other times where it's just like, holy shit, I can't believe that this is somebody's life. I feel like people need to know, you know? And that for me is like, I think it's a personal interest. And I think it's a personal interest that I see as something that can proliferate and create more opportunity for those people and for listeners by engaging with that conversation.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's almost like, I don't want to call them social contracts, but it's just social connections. And so, again, for me, I did a lot of people here locally in Houston, people that I knew, people that own companies, influencers. And then I kind of like from that, I started growing on Instagram. And so I was like, ooh, this person. And then that person. And you start, and it's really, I don't want to call it lurking, but you are lurking. You're like, okay, I'm looking for somebody who actually, you know, has overcome something that can help other people, because that's what we're all about. Every single movie that we watch has the hero, the
archetypal journey.
Yep, the bad guy, and then the struggle, and then how they came out. And sometimes the movie ends like, oh my God, I can't believe the hero died, you know, or they succeed. You're like, but it was a good movie. So yeah, it's almost like, where do you spend your time and energy? That says a lot about ourselves. And so where we're spending our time and energy on social media, and you said something earlier, you know, we have this love-hate relationship with it. If we didn't need it, I don't think I'd be on it. I did detox for 11 days. I had to. And it was weird because it was freeing. And I think I'll be doing it again probably this summer. I think I'm going to do it twice a year. It's really good. But yeah, where I find my guests, the same as, you know, like you, I don't even know. I think you reached out to me. Or did I read it?
I totally did, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, she's got the word fuck in there. Man, something's interesting. What the heck, you know? I know.
Well, and you know what? It's funny because I feel like what I love about your social presence is it's super representative of who you are as a person. And that was really apparent to me. And so it was sort of like, you know what? You have a podcast. You're very artistic. You're articulate. Like these are, you know, there's something there. And I just felt it, you know? And I remember when you and I first met, we had like a, I don't even remember if we were videoing or not. I think we might have just been chatting, but I remember we were talking and I was sitting on my deck. It was obviously over the summer, and
Oh, the fire. You were having the fires in Seattle.
Yes, yeah, we were dealing with the wildfires. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. See, so much has happened that, like, that's not even a thing in my brain.
And now there's a pandemic. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah, right? God, this is, like, not really good. So just, like, lots of natural disasters. But, you know, I remember having that conversation, and I remember you told me very quickly about an experience that you had. You actually shared on the episode we did on my podcast about being a child and your relationship with your mother. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling like, wow, that's so awesome that you were just that vulnerable with me and we don't really know each other. Because what that says to me about both of us is that there's a level of trust that's inherent in the discussion that we're having and the relationship that we're building. And when you meet somebody and one of the first things that you know about them is that they feel safe with you to be honest with you, mm-hmm. then like the ability to grow that relationship is so, I mean, it's so expansive. I feel like it's limitless, right? And you and I have, I really feel like since that conversation, you know, you've done an episode of my podcast with me, we've stayed in touch, we've shot the shit a little bit, you know, like I feel like we have like a really great dynamic, but it was really forged by like a message on Instagram saying, hey, I like what you're about. Aww. Let's talk, you know, and you being open to that.
And I think we should as humans, I want to leave people feeling better about themselves when they leave
totally.
My studio or they leave me at the coffee shop or wherever they meet me, Target, whatever. That's what we should be doing as human beings on the planet, is leaving that person.
I love that.
Can I just leave you feeling a little bit better? Like today, this cool guy opened the door because he saw me juggling a box and had all this shit in my hand. He opened the door for me and I'm like, hey, you made my morning. Thank you. You know, who knows what he's going through? I know he smiled. He had the mask on, of course, both of us, but we could see it in our eyes. And yeah. you don't realize what an impact, whether it's small or big, when you meet somebody. And like I said, the whole purpose, I think, is to leave somebody feeling better about themselves, because there's enough BS going on that we're like, oh, you know, we just...
You know, it's interesting that you said it that way too, Sharon, because I've said to people before that my goal in life is not to, like, you know, be an empire builder, to have this like legacy of a business so then I can just keep working until the day that I die and I can point to it and say, look at that, look at what I did. Like, I don't really give a shit. Do I want to have the stability that everybody craves? Yeah, of course. But what I feel is more important to me is that when my time comes, you know, that anybody who knew me would feel like that, what you just described, like they're a little bit better in some way for having experienced a relationship with me, whether that was passing on the street or whether that's a lifelong relationship that I've had or somebody that I randomly met as a podcast guest, you know, like those things, like little details of our lives stick with people.
You want to be known for
that. That we don't even know. Mm-hmm. That we don't even know, if you think about it too. Like, we know when people share that with us, but there are moments in our lives that I am sure, like, we have profoundly impacted other people and we just go about our day as if nothing's different. And these other people have made, you know, that sort of the keystone of their day to like keep it together, you know? So it's like, I think there's elements of that, you know, I see that as my life's mission, is to be like, I hope that you feel a little bit, you know, better or kinder for knowing me and for having the relationship with me, because I hope that, you know, I feel that way about you.
Right.
And it's a, not really a transaction. I think, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
You're leaving an impact without realizing that you're making an impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's embedded, right? It's something that's embedded in you that, you know, I think a lot of times we lose sight of those little things that we do for other people too. And so when you recognize that that's happening for you, it's really nice to extend that, and this idea of, you know, paying it forward. Mm-hmm. It's like, and just be good human beings.
Right.
We can. We have that option, you know. Sometimes it seems like we don't, but every day you have the choice. And I've been through some shit. And I will tell you that the shit has made me feel like more myself, even though I would never be like, oh, I'm glad it happened, because I'm not. I wish I could take it all away. And I can't. But what it forced me to do was realize that there are priorities in this life, and the thing that I will never compromise and never want to even feel like I have to is the relationships that I have with other people, because I think we are what keep each other alive.
Oh yeah. And everybody starts from zero, and then life throws, you know, shit at you and also throws beautiful things at you. It's just this, it can't be all negative all the time. But you have to have both. And I was having this conversation over drinks, Saturday. Remember I told you, a bunch of us went out. I was telling my friend Henry, and we're both artists, and we're already like on our, our fifth drink already. And I said something to him, and then he started crying. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't mean to make you cry, Henry, but there were tears of joy. I said, look, a car battery has a positive and a negative charge. It cannot run without the black cable and the red cable, right? When you do a jumper cable to some of the cars. So you have to have both. And, but the final outcome is positive, because the car will drive and you go to the next destination. So without the negative and without the positive together, that's how we are, again, the sticky glue to help another person. Because if you had the perfect life, oh my God, you'd be boring as fuck. I don't.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that. my therapist has literally said, one of my therapists, because like that's important to note. But no, she had said, you know, I feel like people who have gone through, you know, pretty difficult life experiences are really the most interesting. And I agree with that. And I think that sometimes it's hard to see that because we've been conditioned to have this view of the world and the way everything's expected to be. But I feel like, you know, coming to the, like circling back to the podcast and why, for both of us, I think, right? It's like, we feel like a better world is possible. And this is a way for us to leverage the skills that we have and the platforms that we have to help other people see that too. And if we give ourselves the chance to fully like digest our experience, good, bad, or indifferent, like we come out of that with a much better sense of like what we can do, where we want to go, and how this all plays out. And I think like we get scared sometimes because, you know, starting a podcast is dangerous, right? It's like, oh God, what if I fail? I mean, if you fail, what? Nobody listened. Nobody was listening anyway before you did the podcast. Like, I mean, you're not, you know, ripping apart your life to try.
Right.
You know, like just everything's worth a shot.
Yeah. Just feel the fear and do it. And then, you know what? Maybe you do it for a year and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. There's no set rules. You know, to do it. It's just get over the fear and do it. Like I said,
and there's no shame in saying you don't want to do it anymore either, right? Like I think that me, like I've had plenty of things in my life that I'm inconsistent with. And this is actually, I think every single one of my friends is like, I can't believe you're still doing it. I was like, I know, I don't ever commit to anything like this. So it's like, obviously I care about it.
Hey, well, with that said, because you are into season two, and is it coming to an end? Or are you coming into season three? I'm trying to backtrack.
I'm about halfway through season two. So I did 16 episodes in season one. I think I'm going to aim for 18 episodes in season two, sort of based on timing. And I think the way I'm going to play it out is like, do the season, give myself a little bit of time in between those seasons. You know, any listeners who want to go back and play anything they haven't heard yet, but really want to keep consistent, because what I've done in season two also that I'm really proud of is I had been for season one that was dragged out for a bit, and it was maybe like once or twice a month, and then now I've been producing and pushing them out weekly, which has been super satisfying, because it's like there is again that like accountability to myself where it's like I want to have these conversations. I want to make the time to record them, and I want to get them out there so people can hear them.
And not only that, you already have this, you have the base of people that are like, well, where's Nikki's next podcast? You know, like if they see you haven't dropped it, I'll get a DM. Hey, when's your next episode? I'm like, oh my God, it's been a month. You know, it's been literally a month.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I'm so glad you were here today. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, no, it's really awesome to know that people care enough that they're asking you for more content. In fact, one of the first pieces of feedback that I got was, if there's one thing I would change, it's that I would have more episodes faster. And I was like, okay, great. Oh. that's actually like both the easiest and the most difficult thing to do, right? It's like, cause there's the time, energy, effort put into that. But then it's also like the best part is having the conversations.
Well, it is like for example, like this one, I will have to do a little tweaking. You know, we had a little speed bump and My then bad. I wanted to, no, but that's okay. I mean, I know how to, but here's the thing. ta-da, I know how to fix that because I've been through it with another podcast, you know, last year. And so I understand now what to do. And then, you know, you do your graphics, you want to do, there is work behind this to make it look the way it looks. Now, you know, by all means, I'm no Joe Rogan. I don't have that, but the little that I do.
Overrated.
Oh, it's overrated. But I mean, I think, no, I shouldn't say I think. I know that we're on the right path, and I can't wait to see the next place you're going to. And I'm also thinking, my God, you need a book title with that. You need a who the fuck book. I'm looking at your logo right now, and I'm like, you know, you need the tagline. I don't know underneath, but have you thought about writing a book?
It's a great question. Yeah, I actually have. I started writing something a few months ago, and I haven't really had a chance to dive back into it. But since I'm in the mountains by myself doing nothing for the next few days whilst I quarantine, maybe it would be a good time to pick that back up. I certainly appreciate the enthusiasm behind that. So I'll take that as a good note.
Yeah, you do. I really think you got something there, because it also, people do like to read, you know, and then maybe put it in Audible, which is, you know, that's another thing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, where can people reach you on your social medias? I'm going to let you tell them.
Yeah. Thank you. So on Instagram, I am at Who the FCK Podcast. So that should translate to Instagram only, because I think Facebook and Twitter have shorter name conventions. So if it's not Who the FCK Podcast, it is Who the FCK Pod. And the other place you can listen is really wherever you get your podcasts. But if you listen and you like it, you're also free to feel free to rate it on Apple Podcasts, because that's always the shameless plug that I feel like you have to give. But like, it's like, hey, let me know you love it. And then you can also just check out the podcast and any archived episodes at whothefck.com.
You know what, I got to go leave you a review. I just realized I haven't done that, so I'll do that today. But yeah, because I'm looking at...
Well, I think that's a mutual there, actually. And I just remembered that I have to rewrite your Amazon review because they told me I couldn't submit it.
Oh, I had three friends. Yeah, they have to watch the language. I don't know. You're not the only one.
Your language.
Their language. Our language. The language of the people. The people language. But yeah, so it is Who the FCK Pod on Facebook. I'll put the links on there for all your social medias, so that people can hopefully they'll just click it on. And if not, most definitely a hashtag. What's your popular hashtag that you have?
Who the FCK.
Okay, so Who the F. That's another way.
Easy enough. I try to keep it consistent.
Yeah, keep it there so we can do that. People are now using social media apps as search engines now.
I know, it's fascinating. And I actually really like that idea because, well, especially with Instagram, like the visual representation, it's something that like you can kind of consume quickly and find things, provided they're authentic accounts.
Right,
so.
And just put the hashtag in there. All right, I'm just so glad you're here. I can't wait.
Sharon, thank you so much.
To meet in person. It's going to be like epic. We're going to do the happy dance, and we're just going to hug and cry and laugh and everything.
Okay. 100%. Thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored and grateful for the opportunity, and hopefully some of this was helpful. But if anybody has questions or wants to know more about what's going on in my world, always feel free to reach out.
Absolutely. Make sure you follow Nikki on her podcast or in her Instagram for sure. And I want to say thank you to everybody who does listen to Middle Finger Happiness. Thanks for your patience. And here we are starting season 3 with Who the Fuck Podcast as my guest. Thank you guys. Take care. Peace out.